Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. My guest today, Katherine Ulrich Brakefield, is the award-winning author of the historical romance Destiny series, which includes Swept into Destiny, Destiny's Whirlwind, Destiny of Heart, and Waltz with Destiny. She has been a guest on Step into the Light before, where we discussed her historical romance novels. Today, we will talk about her newest novel, which takes us into the perhaps not too distant future, titled Love's Final Sunrise. Good morning, Katherine. Welcome back to Step into the Light.
Oh, thank you, Patty. I'm so happy to be back again. I love being on your show.
Thank you so much. It's a joy to have you here. Katherine, I was listening to the little bit of the last interview that we did, which was back in November of 2020. So it's been 2.5 years. And at that time, you talked about this upcoming book that you were writing. Would you tell us, you have written historical romance for quite some time now. You're well into your writing career. What led you to write about the future at this point?
You know, I felt it was the good Lord moving me to write this book. I couldn't think of anything else but this book. I felt like God was telling me to tell people about his everlasting love for us. And in Romans 8:31-34, the Apostle Paul says this, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, who also risen, who is even at this right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." That really stood out for me. And I felt like though we face often catastrophic problems in our lives today, God's got this. To call on him in those worrisome days, even if we face the last three and one half years of tribulation. Now, I'm not here to tell you, I know people all have an idea of what, when they think tribulations is going to come. I don't want to change their viewpoint. I just want to give them the facts, and that's the Bible facts. I want them to know what they can rely on. And taking this book, I'm telling you, if it so happens, a good Lord, I hope it never does in America, but if they confiscate your Bibles, have this on your shelf. You've got over 100 Bible verses in here, and you will get through anything. So that's why I try to write it for, and I felt like God was leading me to do this. So, and it's not a preachy book. It's not a feel-good book. It's a feel-encouraged book. But people who've read this book, some by even more than one copy, they tell me they're how encouraged they are, how inspired they are, knowing that God's love, God is going to get you through this no matter what we have to go through.
Well, Katherine, thank you so much for sharing that. And I agree with you that there are so many different opinions about the tribulation. Who's going to experience it? Who's going to be taken up in the rapture beforehand? Are Christians going to have to deal with any of it? Are we going to have to be right in the middle of it? And it is a fascinating subject to discuss and to correlate with the Bible and with Bible prophecy. And it's a little scary, but it's also reassuring to know that, as you say, God is going to be there with us through whatever we face, whether it be the tribulation or something going on in our daily lives that can be catastrophic. And heaven knows there's plenty of it. Today we're hearing about so many natural disasters and people that lose their homes to fire and flood and tornadoes. And then there's all kinds of unrest with relationships, and there's just a whole lot going on.
Amen.
Why did you choose to use members of the Amish community as main characters in Love's Final Sunrise?
That's a good question. Thank you. I love my history. You know how I wrote in all history books. And I think
yes,
it's partly to that reason I use the Amish background, because the Amish roots extend back to the 1700s. Now, they had survived generations of change and continue strong in their families even to this day, holding on to the biblical roots and their family ties. And I thought, gee, Lord, are you telling me that, you know, if they could do it, can't we do it for like if we have to do 7 or 3.5 years of our lives? Because I feel like we're going to have to move away from society and keep strong in our biblical roots if we're going to get through this and we're going to endure this Antichrist reign, if that's what we have to do. But God keeps telling me that could be a very strong possibility, even if you're a born-again Christian, because God tells us in Matthew 22:22, that these will be trying times for everyone and no one's going to survive. But for the elect's sake, I will shorten those days for the elect. So what is that telling me? Doesn't tell us as well, Lord, that means to tell me if you want to go through this, we might be, but you're going to be right there standing at the sidelines cheering us on. And the more I saw about these Amish, oh my goodness, they're amazing how they can endure through all this age that we're in right now. They use no electricity whatsoever or anything.
The Amish definitely are a very unique community, and the little that I know about them is from what I have read in Amish novels, basically.
Yes.
I don't believe we have any Amish people in the area where I live, although we may, and I might not even know it, but I'm pretty sure that if we did, I would know it. But yes, they are a fascinating group of people, and their faith is beyond anything that I could probably practice.
Yes.
So what knowledge or experience about the Amish did you bring to the writing of the book? Catherine, did you have friends who were Amish? Had you lived nearby an Amish community? Did you have any kind of contact with the Amish way of life at all, to where you had some personal knowledge, or no?
Yeah, that is the amazing thing. It was been quite a while ago. I mean, I know my kids were riding. I belonged to Metamora Hunt Club. And I first met the Amish community riding as a member of Metamora Hunt. We started riding up north of us. Yes. And we saw the Amish signs and everything else. And I didn't know they even lived up there, you know. So then also I became a staff writer of Michigan Traveler magazine. And I thought, gee whiz, I want something that's different, you know, for my next writing. So I took the Amish community during Thanksgiving Day. I learned a lot that they do sell a lot to English. They call us English because, like they told me, they're Americans too. They've probably been here longer than most of us have been here. So I learned about their community. I learned they didn't use wheels, wobble in their wheels. They didn't use any cars. They didn't use any indoor plumbing. You know, they have all their bathrooms are outside. And I learned a lot about their customs. I even bought my wood floors from them. I even had them erect a barn for me and bought my wood stove from them. So I got to know really personally. In fact, my blacksmith, he's with my blacksmith for my horses, my Arabian horses. So he really helped me through this book, making sure I got everything correct. And I delved into history. You know me, I love history. So I got to know more and more about their historical roots as well. But the main thing I learned is that their family ties are very strong, and they continue to this day. The parents take care of their children. The children take care of their parents when they get older, just as it was back in the 1800s. And that's why I thought, this is what I need for my book. Because of their community ties, they work together. They've learned that they didn't need modern conveniences. Their teenagers could care less about them. You know, they're happy with the way they are, and so are their children. That's why I want us for us.
That is so interesting. I'm trying to picture a teen in the, what is it the Amish call us, the English?
They call us the English, and I said, we're Americans. She says, well, so are we. So when I checked on my information, I found out they definitely are, because many of them came over from Europe in the 1700s and 1800s. That's so amazing to me that they have definitely been there that long. So I did with my one main character. He left the Amish community for a while and then came back. And I met another blacksmith that was part of the Amish community and then left. But he still has very strong Amish ties, you know, in every respect. And the same family community relationship, which I find very interesting. So I did I'm very lucky to have so many people that I knew to help with this book.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Why do the Amish people allow their young people to practice Rumspringer?
Well, I asked that one. Every or none is different in every community. And I asked my one friend, he said they wouldn't be till they were 18, but usually they don't go anywhere. You know, that's kind of I don't know if it could have been some other place. See, they're more, this old Amish group that I know are from the West, and there's another part, one I just met, that's more toward the East by Pennsylvania. Maybe they do. Everything's different, but they want to leave. Whenever they want to leave, they can leave, I'm saying, you know, and they can come back, you know. as long as they don't do the ordinance. The ordinance, what they have to do, if they do a water baptism, they are now into the faith, and they've committed themselves to that faith. My one friend that I know, who he was a blacksmith, so he left and he stayed away. I was surprised because he really has a lot of relatives in the Amish community. He said, I can go back anytime I want to. I never did commit. But he liked the English. He liked a lot of the part of what they did. And, you know, he doesn't feel any difference because he still lived up north by them. He had electricity, though. So, and he can vote because he's a politician right now in one of the communities. So that was awesome because they cannot vote or anything, but they do pay taxes.
Interesting. Of course, again, my only exposure to the Amish community is through novels and maybe things I've seen on a TV show or whatever. But to me, it always seemed like Rumspringa is kind of like taking a person who has absolutely no preparation for the dangers of the world and just kind of throwing them out there. I never quite understood why someone would have supposed to.
I can't either, and I'm trying to... Yeah, I can't. I mean, I know that is there, but I think that's more of a myth than it's the truth, because I've known those Orna. I know them for almost over 20 years, and they don't do it. None of them, the young kids, they just stay up there. They're pretty much looking. They've got their singings and their frolic. Now, a singing is when they get together with all the young kids from the community, get together, and every after church on Sundays, they get together and they meet each other and they do all kinds of fun things. Their frolics are really their work time. Mm-hmm. They erect barns, they erect houses. They all erect these guys in one to 2 days, by the way. But I kept with them, and I know, like, the one friend I know, his daughter's of age, she's not going to go off someplace. I mean, she's happy where she is. I don't know where it came from. It was just part of now, in fact, I'll tell you one thing. My friend told me, he said, I'm so glad to get a book now that's more closer to what we do. They kind of laugh at some of these new books that they come out with about the Amish lifestyle. They're not really true. Yeah, they have refrigerators. They got, you know, so they don't have any of that.
And this is the thought that has crossed my mind as we're speaking here, Catherine. I wonder if the whole Rumspringa ethic is not something that has been romanticized over the years in movies and in books, just like there are certain things in Westerns that never really happened, but for the sake of Hollywood.
that's right.
So I'm really wondering if you talk like that really is not a big practice, that all these teens, when they turn 18, they go running into the world of the English to find out about all these things that they quote-unquote have been missing all these years. It probably isn't that way at all. So thanks for clarifying that.
I know, at least not with my ordina, because I asked them about that. They said, we heard about that in some of your English books.
That's funny.
Isn't that true? She said, I don't know, but we don't, you know, they can go whenever they want to, but, you know, they're free. They're not, like, captive there. Anytime they want, they go And amazingly, like, the men come here, they use my electricity and stuff, you know, and everything they need, and eat my food and everything like that. The women can come, too. I've had a couple come over, and we went to a restaurant sometimes. They go there and everything. I mean, it's not, like, uncommon. They have no desire to leave. They're quite content where they are. I don't know. I'll just say this, that this ordinance doesn't really do this Rumstrom thing. And I asked them about it. They didn't really know anything about it. They said it's in the English book. So I don't know. Maybe someplace else they do, but I can't really say. So I don't want to discourage some other one author saying that they do have one. And a different ordinance, they might. I went further north and found out that this group was from the Pennsylvania group, and they had an indoor plumbing. They had no electricity, but they had indoor plumbing there, and they used it. They had their pipes. They're very ingeniously what they do. He had these pipes running from his wood stove with a hot water reservoir is, and goes up all across to all the different parts of the room where he has a bathroom. Go figure, you know.
Wow.
Just amazing.
We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen, right here on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is author Catherine Ulrich Brakefield. Catherine's latest novel is Love's Final Sunrise, a futuristic novel quite different from the historical romance Destiny series we've previously discussed here on the podcast. If you would like to listen to this episode again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheene.com. That's spelled PattySheene.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a more information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Catherine. Catherine, getting back to our discussion about the short and long of it is that if there comes a time when we've heard all of these things about these mass power outages and things like that in cities and that kind of thing that is very possibly going to happen someday with this warfare that's going on between countries, these people will survive it a lot better.
Yeah.
Then the rest of us probably will, because
yeah.
There are so many ways in which we will have to adapt. It's kind of scary to think that we have allowed ourselves to step away from the basic survival skills that our ancestors had.
Amen. And we become so dependent on our society, electricity. We've been told now don't use your power much from 3 to 7. I thought, well, really, this is getting ridiculous for power failures. Yesterday we had a lot of rain and my internet wouldn't work. And I thought, this is something for me to give me pause to realize this is important, you know, to know how to handle yourself and what to do, you know, in a crisis. We don't know. We've had times when we ran out of power for 10 days here. We have a big generator, but everything is totally on the grid. Even with the power, the natural gas comes up. We have to have a power plant that generates it over here. So it's something to look at. But I tell a lot in my book how we can improvise and how we can make do. How they do it with just a little bit of gasoline to get their pumps working and everything like that. So there are many ingenious ways that they learn that I put in Love's Final Sunrise. I think, okay, well, just – and he just laughed. I was telling – he was telling me what to do and this and that, and I thought, this doesn't sound so hard. So I put it all in the book.
Yeah,
I think we're
going
to have a chance. When we get towards even closer to the end, we're going to see what's going on. And we're going to know God wants us to wait, to flee to the mountains or to take care of ourselves and to prepare ourselves, you know. I think he's going to know. We're going to all know. The elect is going to know, okay, I better get a few more canned goods up every day, every time, and just prepare myself, you know. God's going to be in control, and he's going to help us get through this. We know that.
Yes, and that's the main message of your book, is that God is going to get us through this, all of this that's to come.
Yeah.
We've talked about this a little bit, but considering that you've written mainly historical books in the past, what past experiences as a society can we draw on to prepare us for this future?
You can really look like, well, you know, the history tends to repeat itself. And you can really look on that part. And then praying, I think, is the most important part that you can do with the Lord. And I really think the Bible and praying is the two most foremost things we need to do. And I think the most important thing, too, to know is that we don't need modern conveniences. We don't need our cell phones. We only need our phones to get through anything, because we have a real pattern here in the Bible to know what's going to happen. You know, we also know that if our answers, if the Amish can still do it, we can do it too if we need to. I just don't know, even with the news nowadays, it seems to be so biased in spots. You can go different news channels, find different points of view, and you don't even know what to believe. You know, it's hard to know. I know when I wrote for some of the newspapers, they liked the liberal viewpoint, and it was hard for me to get my word, the truth out sometimes. So we have to understand that God's got our back, and He's going to protect the elect. He's like standing on the sidelines looking at us. He says, you can do this. You can do this. Don't worry. I'll send my angel here to help you, to guide you. But we have to know that we choose the road we go down. We choose to have to have this thing. God will take care of all our needs, not all of our desires. So we have to decide our needs. God will take care of. What do we actually need? You know, not to actually what we want, not all our wants. So that's the most important thing we can think of. And I think through my history books, I've learned a lot. A lot of my history books, too, I put in different ways to make extra food and how they survived the Great Depression and the Walt series. So in the Destiny of Heart, this series, too, as well, that one. And we need to realize that a lot of times, even in let's face it, my first books, Swept Into Destiny, their money was gone. And they endured this the way through. So we understand we don't always have to have what we think we need, but God will get us through this. And even in this latter days, he's going to do the same thing. That's the most important part to realize. History can repeat itself, but history tells us how we can get through it, the best part of all.
And we have become such a spoiled society, Catherine, that there are so many things that we think we can't do without. And I have to laugh when I think to myself, okay, my powdered donuts for breakfast are not near as essential to my life as having a couple of chickens out in the backyard that can give me eggs. You know? We just get so used to all of the modern choice. Well, for one thing, my goodness, you go to the grocery store and you can stand there for 20 minutes trying to make a choice as to what kind of whatever you want, different foods, because there's so many choices and it's ridiculous. And you go to other countries and they don't have those kind of choices. And boy, if we were to get down to just the bare essentials of what we needed, the grocery stores would probably have only 10% of what you find in there today.
I know. That's kind of, you know, really unique when you see bare shelves. I mean, I never saw that before in my lifetime, but I mean, maybe it's a good thing because it kind of prepares us, you know, say, okay, we don't need this item as much as we thought we did. So we just have to take advantage and just, you know, the best part about bringing your friends to the, and your loved ones to the Lord is that we've got everything we need in heaven. This is just the battlefield. We've got our real home up in heaven. And the only thing we can bring to our mansion in the sky is bringing our loved ones, you know, bringing them a salvation message, which I put in this book. I try to make sure that, in fact, I wrote this book so that I would show through a suspense, trying to get the unsaved and the ones that don't quite know where they are in God's kingdom. We know where we're going, but other people don't know. And so it's a good book for us, you know, for us, because I have all the Bible verses in there. I also want to win souls. That's my main objective in all my book, is to win people to the Lord, to make them realize what they're missing out in not knowing Jesus Christ. And this really cinches it. With Love's Final Sunrise, it really cinches it well. It really shows you the love he has for his people, the love he has, and that if you receive the mark of the beast, you have a decision to make. You're no longer on his side. You're on the devil's side, which we don't like to talk about the devil, but he's very much alive.
Yes. You said in your author's note, I believe it was, that you had a hard time getting this book published. Why do you think that is? Why do people not want to touch this subject?
Yeah. It's normal. Publishers want a book that they can make money on. And publishers know what people want. People like you'll see that now in our pulpit. Most of the preachers, you know, preach a good feeling sermon. They don't preach the Ten Commandments. They don't preach the fact that if you sin, you're going to go to hell. They don't do that anymore. They want a feel-good one, so they get the money. They don't want to lose anybody. You know, they'd rather have the money. And so the publishers are the same way. They have to have a good clientele, good market value, and it wasn't a feel-good book. And I told her, it's not a feel-good book. But amazingly, I've had an overwhelming response, and mostly from my main people that read my books all the time. They have bought, some have bought 5, 7, even 10 and 15 books at a time just to pass them out to different people. And I just praise their name because they're doing what I want them to do, send the word out to people that might not know it, you know, because it's not a documentary. It's not like you don't do this around a woman that's a sinner, you know, Ruth, that you know, fell out of grace, that did all kinds of terrible things, and then wrapped around an Amish guy that left the Ornon, came back, and was still he has his, and it shows us we all have our problems. Even the Amish have problems. Even the Amish have their sins and their worries. We're all not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. We serve a perfect Jesus. And Jesus takes our sins and takes care of everything for us. If we come to him, if we're born again, we have to do that, become born again. And I show you how to do this in the book as well.
Amen to that. Well, Catherine, what is your next project? You've done the past. You've done the future. What's your next book going to be?
I'm compiling my two life stories I've written in Fort Reveal, Cross River, Guyports, and Bethany House. And it's a book of encouragement. I hope to, my proposal title is Believe. And I have to say, my last main message would be that I want to convey in this book is do not receive the mark of the Antichrist, whatever. And the four key elements our good Lord kept reminding me of was while writing Love's Final Sunrise was, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You know, I give you a clear explanation on this and how to make sure your name is written there. Then you watch, pray, and alert the elect. Jesus tells us in John 3:3, most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In Revelation 3:5, he overcomes, shall be clothed in the white garments, and will not blot out his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. But, you know, like in Matthew 24:22, I said, you know, unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That's how much he cares about us. But the most scary part that I read about the end of times is not what you would think it would be. It was in Luke 18:7-8 was a chilling message. It said, and shall God not avenge his own elect? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? That kind of got my heart thinking, God doesn't know for sure. We have make our own decisions in our life. We have our own choice. Do you think we're going to fall by the wayside and he comes back and be very few people left to come up with him? Isn't that sad to think?
Yes.
That kind of works. It made me even speedily write the book even more.
Here's a question for you, Catherine. I know you don't have the answer. I don't have the answer. None of us have the answer. But it would be a question to discuss. Suppose you're in a situation where, let's talk about people that are being human trafficked, okay? They're in a situation where they're drugged constantly. They really don't have enough mental capacity due to these drugs and things to make a choice, and they're forced to take the mark. Where do they stand?
You know what? I've got a hunch that when all this happens, you know, and I don't know if we'll have a monetary system we do right now or not, but I've got a hunch before all this happens, God is going to make sure that they escape this and they'll be able to make their own decision. I've got a hunch the way the Lord talked in the Bible, that he's going to grab everybody that wants him. They're going to escape. That's what I really think. I really believe. I don't think there's going to be anybody that God's not going to grab. If they don't want to make that decision, they're not going to make it. It's going to be a free choice thing, a free will thing. And that's what I really believe in what's going to happen in the end. You know, I mean, we can, it's even to this day, we can all die before anything like this happens. Still, we have to know our decision. We have to know which one we want to follow. And there's no middle ground. There's no yes or no or maybe. It's either yes or no. Yes, I go with Christ, or no, I don't. And then yes, I go with the devil. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. It's either one or the other. And that's why people don't understand. They think they can wait. You can't wait. Decision. You've already made a decision if you don't make this decision. See what I'm saying? And that's the problem with us. We are so lukewarm. You know, it's the truth. And Jesus, I'll spew you from my mouth. I mean, we've got to stop. We've got to stop for a minute. The most important thing we can do is not our will. It's nothing like that. It's who do we want to follow in this world, Jesus or Satan? And if you have a problem with alcohol or drugs or anything, heaven forbid, even sex, pornography, you don't understand. When you accept Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes in your heart to help you fight this. You're not fighting alone anymore. It's not you alone. It's you and Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will help you make this war. You won't be alone anymore. You will have him there, him guiding you and strengthening you anything and everything you have to do. And that's something I put in one of my books, one of my parts with Ruth, you know, guiding her to understand that this is what she has to have. And I'm hoping and praying if anyone you worry about, get this book to them. Get this book. It's a fun book. It's a suspense. And then it's not preachy, but it wraps around the truth. And people can't let go of the truth. Once you get the truth, the true word of God, it's hard to let go of it. It's this falseness of the God, the great deceiver that deceives us, thinking you got the truth, but you don't have the truth. That, you know, they deceive the word of God, like Satan did to Christ. We went up in the mountains, and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Then Jesus, then the Satan came and deceived and took the word out of context. Well, you don't take the word out of context, you're going to see the true word. You know, you'll be encouraged by it. I really believe that before anything comes to the end, God's going to rescue anybody that's in trafficking or anything else and get them out of there so they can make their own decision. I really believe this. Just by the way he writes this about his elect, he proved this time and time again. Even with me, look at this. Even with me, I went on the hunt, not looking for Amish. I didn't care anything about it. And all of a sudden this came back. And the whole idea of this book, Love's Final Sunrise, evolved. And I thought, gee whiz, Lord, where did this come from? And some of the Bible verses I put in here, I thought, gee, I didn't know that one. And God led me to everything, even wake me up at night, saying, put this down, put this down. I said, okay. So I went back to bed and slept, once I did his will. The more you do God's will, though, Pat, don't you see this? The more you do God's will, the stronger his spirit gets in you. Did you find that out to be true?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And I think, and we've talked about this before, Catherine, on the show, we don't realize how much power we have to tap into in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's like the person that, speaking of electricity before, it's like the person that says, oh man, I wish it wasn't so dark in this room, and yet they don't walk over and turn on the light switch.
Right.
To bring light into the room. And I think we're that way in our lives. There's darkness, discouragement, frustration, whatever's going on, and we don't reach for that light that is the Holy Spirit that is right there waiting to help us. So
I agree wholeheartedly, Patty. It's so true. And people say, well, he doesn't listen to me. He does listen to you. You have to listen to him first. He's not a fairy godfather. He's got the Ten Commandments, or he asked you to read his word. Are you reading the word of God? See, Patty, people think that they don't hear him, but they do hear him, but you have to obey him first. Find a good church where the word of God is truly preached. You know, and then I underline the Bible verse when I go to a church. I go to one church, and I also listen to two more churches on my TV set. But I underline the Bible, and I read the whole context to make sure that's where God wants it to be read. I mean, it's important. This is the word of God. This is the Holy Spirit in you. You have to be attuned to it. And then that way you can help other people find the Lord. I mean, we're just a vessel. We're just a conduit to bring other people to the Lord, to us. That's all we are. I can't bring them to the Lord. My words can't do it, but Jesus Christ can. The Bible can. You know, so that's why I use it.
We plant the seeds, and that's all we can do.
Amen.
Well, Catherine, this has been a great visit with you, and I knew that you're always an interesting guest. You write well, and it's been a lot of fun and inspiring talking with you today. And I would like to thank you so much for coming back on the show, and may God continue to bless you in your writing.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure being on your show, Patty. I love talking to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for your ministry.
You as well. Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That's spelled PATTISHENE.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a More Information tab. Click on that, and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheen. Until next time, God bless you.